It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. A quick signpost here. WPR has added additional newscasts each weekday. We have a growing collection of pandemic-related articles, data, analysis. It's all at WPR.org/COVID for you to check out. Right now, we're talking about what it takes to jumpstart the Major League Baseball season amid the pandemic. The league presented a 67-page health and safety operations manual to the Players Association last week, giving detailed procedures of what an abbreviated season would look like. Rigorous testing, dugout seating charts, no spitting, by the way, post-game showers in the locker room, bad idea. How do you feel about Major League Baseball's plans for restarting by July 4th? What are your concerns? What do you do if you were the commissioner? It's 800-642-1234 to join in. Lori Nickel is a sports columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Lori, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Kate. How are you doing?
Doing well. We also have Bradford Doolittle, an ESPN writer who covers baseball. Brad, thanks for being here.
Good to be with you, Kate.
Well, Brad, let's start with you. South Korea started its baseball league in earlier this month, possibly showing the way for other pro sports around the world. What do you see South Korea doing that may translate here?
Well, South Korea has had a different program from the beginning with how they've handled the pandemic. And they've been very aggressive in terms of using technology to track people, to do contact tracing. And once they got their infection rates down, they had that system in place. And, you know, there are a number of American players and coaches that work in that league. And I know some of them think that the program that they have in South Korea isn't necessarily comparable to what we could put in place in this country, both because of the scale, but also just differences in attitude. And, you know, I think that's a broader conversation than sports, but I think they have shown that it is possible for two baseball teams to gather in a mostly empty stadium and play games without, an outbreak.
Yeah.
From just those players being around each other.
Are the stadiums completely empty then?
Well, there's the essential personnel of the people needed to stage the game and the umpires, but they aren't letting in fans at this point. They're playing in empty stadiums and sort of, just trying to drum up atmosphere with music and whatnot. And I think that's the scenario, definitely a scenario we'd be looking at here if we get going again.
Lori, have you been watching what South Korea is doing, what baseball looks like there?
No, I haven't been too much. I've just been reading about it, but I like that. I think they mentioned that if somebody did test positive, I think they said that they would shut down for 2 or 3 weeks. That sounded like a good idea. It just seemed like a pretty progressive approach.
So what have you been doing then? Are you looking to leagues around the world? Where do you get insights on what it will take, Lori, to jumpstart pro sporting events again here in America?
Well, it looks like it's really going to take that first major league professional sport to kind of make that first step. You know, the NBA was the first team to shut down, you know, and then a lot of the other leagues followed. And it just looks like whether, you know, the players agree to all the testing and all the financial arrangements that have to be made, like in baseball, that's a big contention right now. You know, everybody's losing money. It looks like players might lose up to half their income. It just seems like who's going to lead this. And I kind of wonder if the NBA will do it. I kind of expect them to. I've been watching Major League Baseball as well, and that safety report that they put out was pretty good. But then you see all the arguments between the union, the players, and the owners. So I kind of am looking to the NBA to see what they're going to do next.
Brad, you know, some league is going to have to be the guinea pig here. Who will it be?
Well, I don't know that the leagues are necessarily looking at it as a competition with one another to get this going. The NBA has certain advantages in terms of they were far enough into their season so that if they decide that the way to do it is to just not bring back every team, but just bring back, a number of playoff teams, and I don't know to what extent they would change their playoff format, rather than resuming the regular season, then they have that option. And so they'd be looking at fewer teams. And of course, NBA rosters are significantly smaller than those of baseball rosters. We're talking about probably 50 players per team in Major League Baseball versus around 15 for the NBA. So the logistics are very different, but also the nature of the sports are different. There's a lot more contact in basketball, so that's another concern. So I think both leagues are taking it sort of a day by day, week by week basis, and they're both in negotiations with their players' association. So it's hard to say, but I kind of think if one league gets going, we'll see the other one get going right around the same time.
We're talking about professional sports, baseball's plans for restarting. We have Brad Doolittle from ESPN, Lori Nickel here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And your thoughts as well. What questions do you have about how Major League Baseball would come together for play? What do you want to know? How do you feel about plans for restarting by July 4th? What are your concerns? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Brad, what does this plan look like to start around the 4th of July, or what is coming together there for that particular date?
Well, assuming that the players and owners are able to come to an economic accord, and the health program that baseball has proposed can be tweaked and evolved to the point that the players feel safe in coming back, then they're talking about having probably around a 3-week spring training during June, and those spring trainings would probably be held in the home ballparks of every team, assuming that all of the there's 27 cities involved in Major League Baseball, so that's a lot of different situations. But insofar as every team can play in their home park, they would just have spring training there and then get going on July 4th with an opening day. But of course, everything with this health situation evolves constantly. So, we hear by the time we hear about plans, they've probably already changed. So it's a day by day drama.
Sure, I'm sure there are so many different scenario planning scenarios going on there. Lori, what are your concerns about a 4th of July start?
Well, for baseball, it seems great. For basketball, it seems really bizarre to even be talking about that, but they're also looking at, the NBA is looking at a return around that time as well. I hope that, once the financial stuff is agreed to with baseball, if they can come to that, that the players can get on board with all the social distancing rules. And I know they're weird. I know it's, no sunflower seeds and no high fives and no leaving the hotel and all that, but we're all making adjustments and adaptations to our own personal lives. So even if they make the rules super strict, which it kind of sounds like they're almost unreasonable, at least there's the effort or it's in the consciousness of people to make some changes and to maybe not have too much contact so that it helps bring things back to life. I would like to see sports come back. I would like to see the businesses get going and the cities that rely on the small businesses around these teams and the people whose jobs rely on this to come back as well. So I've, some of the complaints that I see from players about, well, this isn't baseball and all that, I hope that changes and people adjust.
Brad, help us give us some context here about the money situation. If the league were to cancel the season completely, altogether, what would that mean to the owners and the players, the fans, the broadcasters?
Well, I can't speak to the broadcasters, but as an industry, Major League Baseball brought in around $10.7 billion of revenue last year, and the vast majority of that would just not exist if they don't play any games, because their media contracts or advertising contracts are all contingent upon actually having games to sell. And then, of course, even if they do play, that's most likely going to be without much revenue at the gate or merchandise sales at the stadium or concessions and that kind of thing. The players were given initially, when baseball first shut down, I believe it was $170 million as sort of an advance on their salaries. And then in March, they came to an agreement in which the players would be paid a prorated amount of their agreed to salary, of how many games actually get to be played. That's sort of the bone of contention right now. The owners say that that agreement was dependent on upon having games with fans. The players say that was the agreement no matter what. So that's kind of the central point of the negotiation that's happening right now.
Do we know whether public health officials have a seat at the table in these negotiations? How are they going down?
Right now, baseball says that they have worked and they have worked with public health experts to form these plans and have stayed in contact with the Players Association. At this point, according to there's an expansive report out at ESPN right now, they have not gone to every individual municipality to discuss the specific guidelines in place everywhere. But they say that is the next step, and that should happen in the next couple of days. You know, I'm in Chicago right now. They would not allow a team of 30 players per team, plus umpires, plus broadcasters, plus probably a handful of sports writers. They would not allow them to gather in one place. You would not be able to stage baseball games. So they're going to have to work with each individual city to find out what needs to happen between now and then to allow teams to play in their home ballparks.
Because each municipality has a different approach right now to social distancing and regulations over that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it also depends on how the trend lines with the epidemic progress from here and until then. You know, a lot of people are looking at Georgia because it was one of the states that were most aggressive at reopening. And the infection rates in the county where the Braves play, and they do not play in downtown Atlanta, seem to be edging up. And so if that gets out of control, the Players Association is not going to be comfortable with players going to play in Cobb County, Georgia. So.
We have sports reporters Brad Doolittle from ESPN, Lori Nickel from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel columnist there, looking into their crystal balls to predict what happens with pro sports amid the pandemic. Your thoughts as well, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're talking about what it takes to bring back professional sports in the middle of a global pandemic. So Major League Baseball is in the thick of planning and negotiations to piece together a 2020 season. But in order to put on games in empty stadiums, you need the dozens of MLB teams, you need the league offices, you need the broadcasters, many people still to orchestrate something like that. So if you were a pro sports athlete, how would you want to be tested for the coronavirus? What would you want to happen if a player or coach tests positive? How are you supporting your favorite team in this health crisis? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. We have Lori Nickel from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and Brad Doolittle from ESPN. They stay with us. Let's take a call on this now. Wayne is joining us from Port Washington. Hi, Wayne.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I guess my question is more related to the NBA. But if they would, just for example, continue the playoffs, let's say, starting in July, then that's a good 2 to 3 month season in itself. So now let's say they finish sometime in September and a normal season just gets going in October with preseason. And my question is kind of, if they would go ahead and do that, does that not really compromise next year's season? Would they not have to shorten that?
Wayne, thanks. Lori, can you field that timetable?
Sure, Wayne. They would delay the start of the 2021-2022 season. They would, I don't know how much they would delay it by, but they had already talked about finishing this season this summer and then having a delay. So instead of, you know, the Bucks training camp starting in mid-October and play that first week in November, you would see probably a 1 to 2, even maybe 2.5 month delay. But I would hope that the Bucks and the NBA would also consider a truncated playoff season where they might play fewer games, especially in the first couple of rounds, to shorten the playoff season, because it is normally 2 months and a week or so, about 7 or 8 weeks.
Wayne, how do you feel if the NBA would come back online?
Well, I would be excited in one way. I mean, it would be different, of course. I'm really wondering, for those teams like the Bucks that will participate in the playoffs, they'll be going pretty much, well, they'll start up and go full bore. right up until hopefully the end of the playoffs. But, you know, NBA players are used to having a nice long off season to recuperate. And would that not give an advantage to those teams who, well, they didn't make the playoffs this year, but they'll be much more rested than, say, a Bucks team that has played? Because I think in the NBA that a lot of times this sort of long-term fatigue can lead to injuries. And when you have star players who more or less carry the league, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, Brad, the more you win, the more your team gets fatigued. And if that timetable is close and a losing team hasn't been on the court for a while, that could be an advantage.
It could be. These are also young, world-class athletes. And, you know, I think at the very least, they would have 3, 4, 5 weeks between the end of the season and the start of the next to recover. And no, it's not normal, but there's nothing about this situation that's normal. And teams would manage those players going forward with that in mind. You know, maybe they would limit the exposure of them minutes wise at the outset of a season. So no, it's not ideal, but I mean, there's just no outcome from any of this that's going to be ideal, both for the seasons that we're waiting on right now, but all the effects of all this will clearly lag into next year as well.
Wayne, thanks for the call. Brad, I want to talk a little bit about that health and safety proposal that was put forth last week. It has lots of specifics on the players. It's very detailed. What did you think of it?
Well, I mean, the specific details, I think it sends a clear message that players will be held accountable for their behavior. And I think they know that, but just that it won't be business as usual. And, you know, I don't think we'd see a situation where a player is thrown out of a game for spitting. But it's more to establish what the standards are so players will understand, and also signal to everybody watching that they are trying to do this in a manner as safe as possible. My concerns with the entire program were more in terms of, how they're going to handle a positive test. And right now, baseball's saying that they'll quarantine the infected player while testing the people that he came in contact with, but not quarantining the people that he came in contact with, the other players. And that's a concern. We need to make sure that the tests are done rapidly and are as accurate as possible, because those players will then be circulating in the general public. And the other part of it is we also need to know and be assured that the resources that are going to be needed to stage these games, whether it's baseball, the NBA, or whatever, are not impacting the general public health effort in this country, because, you know, everybody's competing for the same resources. So this can't take away from the health of the public at large.
Lori, what do you think there? If a player tests positive, say, during the playoffs, do they get benched for 2 weeks and miss that series and they're your star player?
Yeah, that's how, I mean, what the NBA hasn't really laid out the same plan that Major League Baseball has so far, but that's, you know, when Rudy Gobert tested positive for the NBA in March, they shut down the whole league. So I'm assuming that since they took such a proactive approach then, that, you know, that they would be, if somebody tested positive, they would have to follow the same guidelines that the CDC has recommended. So I wouldn't expect anything different from the NBA.
We're talking about pro sports plans for restarting. We have Lori Nickel from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Brad Doolittle from ESPN. Still time for your thoughts on where your favorite team is headed, and would you want them to come back under these conditions? 800-642-1234. So, Brad, how would you feel covering a sport if you couldn't be there in the stadium?
Well, that would be not ideal. I think, you know, within the Baseball Writers Association, we're having those discussions as far as like what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. We understand that access to the clubhouse is almost certainly a non-starter. And the press box situations in every stadium are different. You know, the press box at Wrigley Field and Dodger Stadium is much smaller than the press box at Miller Park. You know, you're going to have a limit to how many people that can go in there. And I think there's also the option to maybe allow a certain amount of riders into the ballpark and just walk, work from a seat in the stands so that you're safely distance away from everybody. So we'll work that out. You know, the players and the owners are trying to figure out how to divide billions of revenue right now. And I think how they handle the sports writers aspect of it is far down the list. But I personally, as long as distancing measures are in place and I am allowed to wear a mask and the other sports writers are expected to wear a mask, would feel comfortable covering a game. But I need to see how those plans are put in place.
Laurie, last time we talked with you, you were just really bummed out about the whole sports world and even, you know, watching old games and things like that. Have you come around at all? Are you okay?
Yes. No, not at all. No. Yes. We have created our, you know, everything is canceled, too, as far as races and triathlons and stuff that we sports writers participate in. So we're just kind of creating our own with three or four people. But no, I think this is tough on a lot of people. It's a good distraction, but I've learned a lot from this, and I do hope it comes back. I think there are ways that the sports world can kind of set an example of how to come back safely, and so I hope that it works out.
Brad, how are sports writers spending their days right now at ESPN?
You know, it's funny. People are saying, so what have you been doing with all your downtime? But the crazy thing is it hasn't really been downtime because, you know, this situation is so different than what we're used to. We spend months planning on how we're going to roll out our coverage during the season. And then all of a sudden, all of those plans were completely moot because there's no season to cover. Now, of course, we have to do everything we can to find out what's happening with possible plans to restart. But we also just have to come up with content, whether or not there are games being played. And so, you know, it's been actually pretty busy, and it's been busy in a way that's weird because, you know, you're having to use your imagination a lot more. You can't just look and say, yeah, you know, who's hot, who's not. So
it's a different type of busy. Yeah. Thank you both for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Kate.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care.
You too. Laurie Nichols, sports columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Brad Bird Doolittle, an ESPN writer who covers baseball. Just ahead, we have Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin joining us to discuss the pandemic. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.